Welcome everyone to the Sports Review. We've got our Christmas special and we've got a jam-packed show where we will be speaking to Rod Davis on the America's Cup pre-regatta. We'll also be speaking to Mike Brown on horse racing, as well as Brendan McNeice on football, and of course the old silver tongue, silver fox, Mr. Summerfield. We'll be speaking about our sporting highlights of what has been 2020, and we'll also a special thanks to him. And now, what a weekend of sports it's been. Of course, what actually caught my interest over the weekend was the America's Cup pre-regatta. Now, on the line, I have a 40-year veteran, one of the best experts on America's Cup in this country. His name is Rod Davis. He first started his America's Cup career in 1977 on a boat called Freedom. He's been involved with America Eagle, he's been involved with the New Zealand Challenge, he's been involved with Prada, he's been involved with Australia, Team New Zealand. He's just about done anything from either being a helmsman to being a coach. Please welcome to the line Rod Davis. Good afternoon, Rod. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, listen, mate, fantastic. And, of course, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, and, of course, Sunday was the Christmas Cup was pretty much abandoned due to lack of win, but it was a fantastic World Series. And, of course, Team New Zealand ended up being the victors of that regatta. Some of your thoughts from it, what do you think Team New Zealand would have got from this regatta?
Well, it was a good check-in for Team New Zealand because they had the reputation of going really well going into this regatta, but you never know until you actually get out there. For sure, Team New Zealand is probably the pick of the boats as far as boat speed right now. How much Team New Zealand may have buttoned off after the first race with Prada, where they were 30 seconds a leg faster, and after that they never seemed to show quite the same speed, but that would make sense. If you're faster than somebody, you don't need to set the bar where everybody can see it. So one thing Team New Zealand does come out of this regatta knowing that their maturation skills need to be lifted up a bit. They got beat up a little around the starting line, but that's okay. That's exactly what they needed to learn. What was going to be important out of this regatta so they can apply it to the America's Cup. You have to remember that they don't actually get to race against anybody again until they go to the America's Cup. So this is their one chance to assess what they need to learn.
Yeah, just on that, Rod, just looking from a challenger's point, like America True and Luna Rossa, do you think they'll have an advantage of consistent racing during the Prada Cup before going into that America's Cup? Do you think that will put them in good stead?
Well, I think from a sailing standpoint, from a racing standpoint, which is the crew work and executing the maneuvers and the tactics around the starting line, yes, that will be a nice benefit for the challengers. From a development standpoint, the racing actually slows your development of your equipment and your changes that you can make because you're frozen with the equipment all through that racing, and you can only change it after the racing. So where Team New Zealand can continue to develop oils and stuff, the challengers can't. But racing teaches you a lot of things as far as your crew work and your execution that practice just struggles to teach you. It's like playing a rugby game versus scrimmages and practices. There's nothing like the game that makes you see it's a different beast.
Certainly is, and one of the highlights I think, as a novice as I am to yachting, I was quite impressed with some of the maturation skills of Dean Barker and Jimmy Spittle. They really are, you know, these guys are well known match racers around the circuit, and of course you would have loved it being a former match racer yourself, seeing these sort of duels go on.
Yeah, I mean, Dean and the Luna Rossa boys, Spit Hill, Bruni included, all have gone through the match racing circuit back when we did upwind starts in the conventional boat. So the moves are still the same around the starting line as they used to be. previous America's Cup, the last two America's Cups, we started on a reach. Here we start upwind, and it's back to similar to where we were in 2007, say 2000 here, where upwind starts are a little more complicated than the reaching starts. But look, Team New Zealand will, Peter Burling will get his head around that and make it all work out in the end of the day, I'm sure.
Just on one thing, INEOS UK, this regatta has been a bit of a disaster for them, and there has been talk within the press that they were struggling. Do you believe that they can bounce back come the Prada Cup, or are they out of time? Have they got enough time to actually bounce back to be competitive within that Prada Cup?
They got a little bit on over there, and they know it. I feel for those guys because they've worked just as hard as every other team. Some of their decisions haven't worked out as well as they would have liked, you know, as far as the design decisions and stuff. But it wasn't from a lack of effort over there. But they are significantly off the pace at this point. Honestly, I think they can scramble and be maybe competitive, but I can't see them getting all the way to the top of the pile, getting past both these other challengers, being the Americans and the Italians. I just can't really picture them going all the way up to that level. But all they can do is keep their head down, work, and be the best they can possibly be, and see how that comes out. So they're going to give 100%, and they're just going to hope for the best, and we'll see what happens.
Yes, I'd have to agree with you there, right? And it's actually a shame because they've got probably the best sailor in Olympic history helming that boat, and it's probably all the money they've put into it. You really hope that they can be competitive. But just on getting back to some of the foiling now, obviously when we have the lack of wind, if you can just explain to our listeners when we're under 15 knots, the lack of foiling. Can you just explain to our listeners some of the sailing dimensions or sailing technology behind this?
Well, the boats, you know, for the boats to foil in lighter winds where they're going slower through the water, they need bigger foils, and it's the downside of these bigger foils is that they're slower at a high speed. So, say you look at Luna or at the Italian foils, and they're quite large, and they can foil down in lower wind speeds than say the English or even the Americans. But when the boat is in 15 knots, the boat's probably 2 knots slower than the Americans. So you have this choice of how small a foil can I do and make and put on my boat, but still foil through the tacks? Because as we've seen, if you drop off the foils, you put the boat down into the water out of the tack, it takes a long time to get it foiling again, and it'll cost you 200 meters. And then basically the game is over until the other guy makes a mistake. So there's real pressure on all the teams to go with small foils and having great technique in these lower wind speeds. It's just tough, but you need to be on the foils as we've seen. The bottom end of the wind speed right now is 6.5 knots, and really the boats are just struggling to foil through the tacks at 6.5 knots. Anything below that, and they really are dropping off the foils and glued to the water again.
And we saw quite a few examples of that where boats just got stuck in the water. Just on another yachting matter, you may have seen overnight they've cancelled for the first time in its history, the Sydney to Hobart race due to the COVID factors in Sydney. You know a little bit about this. Have you ever been on a Sydney to Hobart race?
No, I haven't done. Of all the races, I've done fastener races, I've done a lot of races, but I've never done a Sydney to Hobart race. I know that, you usually get dusted off in that race somewhere along the way. It blows real hard and gets nasty. No, I've never done it, but it is the first time in 75 years, and it's that it's been cancelled. And, you know, that's the world we're living in right now. It's a crazy little world out there, and you just thank your lucky stars every morning that you wake up and you wake up in New Zealand, not anywhere else in the world.
Absolutely agree with you, Rod. You know, I think you have a look at the crowds down at Wynyard Quarter on over the weekend, and I've heard several yachting correspondents, when I've listened to some of the post-sailing press conferences, how lucky we are here in New Zealand. I have to say, Rod, I've really enjoyed your input over the last 2 weeks, and we hope that we can talk more when we come to the end of the Challenger Series and head towards the America's Cup, because I believe our listeners have really enjoyed your input into this, Rod, as have I.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure. I'll give you one little statistic that's a pretty funny one for you just before I go.
Yeah.
Of the skippers of the various teams, Max Serena of the Italian, Ben Ainsley of the English, Terry Hutchinson is a skipper of America, yeah. Magic, and Pete Burling, all four of them are graduates of Emirates Team New Zealand past campaigns.
Which you've been involved in, you've been involved in a few of them.
I've coached all of them, but it's interesting that all four of them have gone through what the Team New Zealand University and become skippers for all four boats.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it proves to one thing that, you know, what fantastic sailors we are in this part of the world.
Yeah, and the Team New Zealand program is a pretty awesome program. You look at it for the last, 33 years,
yep.
And there's no better track record. It's a pretty good act over there.
Oh, they certainly are. Well, Rod, you have a very Merry Christmas and a fantastic new year. We'll talk in 2021 when we come closer to the Prada Cup finals, and we'll talk when the America's Cup is also on, Rod. And, you know, one of the shames, I've looked at some of the broadcasting around America's Cup. It's a pity they don't actually have you on there, mate.
Oh, you never know. You never say never. I might pop up somewhere, but it's interesting watching from the outside, and it'll get even more interesting as time goes on.
It certainly will. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Rod Davis, and it gives us some fantastic input into the America's Cup, and, you know, it's great to have a guy like Rod Davis to give us these expert analysis. So we're just going to play a bit of music. We'll have Mike Brown, the former editor of the Friday Flash, speaking to us about Boxing Day races and about some of the race meetings around New Zealand. So we'll just play a bit of music, and we'll get Mike Brown up next.
She loves the sunrise, no longer sees it with her sleeping eyes. And I know that when she said she's gonna try, well, it might not work because of other ties. And I know she usually has some other ties. And I wouldn't wanna break on, I wouldn't wanna break on. Maybe she'll help me to untie this, but until then, well, I'm gonna have to lie to you. It seems to me that maybe it pretty much always means no. So don't tell me, you might just let it go. Times we're lazy, it seems to stand in my way. There's no one, no, not no one likes to be let down. It seems to me that maybe it pretty much always means no. So don't tell me, might just let it go. Mm-hmm.
further that you try, baby, the further you'll fall. Even with all the money in the whole wide world, please, please don't pass me. Please, please, please don't pass me. Please, please, please don't pass me by. Everything you know about me now, baby, you're gonna have to change. Baby, I shall not move. Even after all the silly things you do. Ooh, ooh. Please, please, please don't drag me. Please, please, please don't drag me. Please, please, please don't drag me down.
Bit of Jack Johnson there. Okay, everyone, now we get to the Sport of Kings, and of course, as it's always been a ritual for the last 8 to 9 years, I always go out to Ellerslie on Boxing Day, have a good time, have a few too many drinks, and probably lose a little bit on the old tote. But we have a racing expert. He is the former editor of the Friday Flash. He's commonly known by my old mate Brendan McNeice, calls him the old brown eye on racing, Mike Brown. Welcome to the show, Mike, and how are you going today, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, Simon. Good afternoon. I'm going pretty good.
Yeah, good. Fantastic weather. And, of course, we've got a big summer of racing coming up. And, of course, Boxing Day. Now, we won't know the official field until later on tonight. But what would you say some of the races for some of our listeners or some of our prospective punters out there to actually put their money on?
Well, the big race on Saturday at Ellerslie is the Zabel Classic. It's the $200,000 race. It's what all the top horses are going for on Saturday, and it'll attract a very strong field. A horse that's on the up is a horse called Rock on Wood from the CD. It's won its last two starts, the last one at Trentham over 1,600 metres. In a twinkling from the strong Jamie Richards stable, won the County's Cup at its last start. That'd be ridden by one of the top jockeys to follow over the Christmas, Opie Bossom. And one that I thought was a bit of value in the race is a horse called Vadivar. Its last start was over 1,600 metres at Ellerslie, ran on strongly to finish fifth. Up to the 2,000 metres looks ideal for this horse, and it will be ridden by Troy Harris. So that wins the value in the race.
Yeah, and of course that we plan a really good price, Mike.
Around about the $18 mark, I think I saw it on the early fixed odds.
That is, I tell you what, if you're listening, people listening, I'm seriously, when I listen to Mike, he never gives me a bad pick. When he does get a rude text from me. But I can tell you something right now, $18, I'd be going down to your nearest TAB and putting a sly 20 on it, because you can end up having a very, very good day out of that. Now, just some of the other things around the course, the old summer of racing. What I always like the old country meets. What are some of the best country meets?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because on Boxing Day, well, see, at Ellerslie, the minimum stake race is $50,000. All your best horses, all grades are going there, so they're all equal ability. It'll come down to barrier draws and who gets the best runs. See, you're probably better off taking the best riders, Opie Bossom, Danielle Johnson, Leith Innes, and the best trainers like Jamie Richards and Stephen McKee and Murray Baker and Andrew Forsman, Stephen Marsh. But I like one there. I've got a winner for you at Awapuni on Saturday. Last week was the big meeting at Awapuni. They had their men on a two cup. They play second fiddle to Ellerslie this week, and there's a horse racing there called Horopito. I don't know what race it'll be in, but it's definitely racing there on Saturday. Jonathan Riddell is riding it, and enormous effort last time. Got covered too much extra ground. Jonathan Riddell's in fine form, and I thought that could be around about the $7 mark at Awapuni.
$7? Well, that's actually... So you probably just heard it here. Have a look at Awapuni. Look for a horse called Horopito. It's around the $7 mark, so that's a really that would be a really good investment to put either on fixed odds or either put in a few dollars each way on that. Now, just some of the country meetings, like I see that Thames Races is now in Tiara, I believe now, Mike.
Yeah, that's a shame. That was a great meeting, teams. But they've had to ship to Tierra, but your team's no longer racing anymore. But down in the South Island, Kurau race just after Christmas. That's always a good meeting. And then further in the new year, you've got the West Coast Circuit, which is also very good.
Oh, the Kamara race.
And up around here is the likes of Rotorua, Tauranga, and the CD is New Plymouth have a two-day meeting on the 27th of December and 29th of December.
Yeah, well, and of course, Pete, I suppose for anyone, you know, I've been to a few the odd meets in the country, and I tell you something, it is actually a really good day. I actually enjoy it more than I do going to Ellerslie. It's a bit more relaxed.
Well, Ellerslie is a great occasion at Ellerslie on Boxing Day, but big crowd. Because it's a public holiday, you have to pay extra on your beverages, and big crowd, can't hear the TVs or see much. The country meetings, I'll be there in a flash.
Oh, I certainly will, and because I've been down to Thames once, and I tell you something, it was a great day. And of course, when you go to some of these country meetings, it's just like. It's just like when we used to have Ellerslie back in the old days with the Innerfield, where you could bring in your barbecues, bring in your marquees, have a few beers, and just enjoy the day.
There's progress for you, Eamon.
I don't know if it's progress.
That was the most enjoyable time.
Oh, yes. I could tell you, you probably may remember a few years ago when they had to, I was in a tent where the barbecue almost exploded many years ago and they had to evacuate it. You may remember that, Mike.
Well, they used to have the elevator out in the middle of the track. People, they'd lift it up during the race, so everyone could get on. Health and safety wouldn't allow that nowadays, that's for sure.
We won't go there, Mike, because you might find that I'll have the same opinion as you. On the day, any races in Australia? Do you think that would be worth for some?
Well, they still have racing in Australia, but theirs is low key. But they get their next big gear up as the Magic Millions at the Gold Coast in early January. But they just have the run of the mill normal races on Boxing Day over Christmas.
And of course, at the end of January, we do have. Towards the
end.
Yep, and of course then the Wellington Cup as well too, where I'm considering going down and catching up with your old mate Brendan McNeice.
Yeah, it's always a good. I must admit, the Wellington Cup has always been a good meeting to attend.
Yeah, well, I think I'll have to go to the bank and get a mortgage. As you know, with Mr. McNeice, it's always a big day spending on punting and alcoholic beverages.
Put your bets on before you start having to buy, because you start making rash decisions later in the day.
Yes. So everyone listening, Mike's giving you the best advice, and we should really follow it. But knowing me, I probably won't, and I'll probably lose a heap of money. But Mike, have to say, really, and thanks for coming on the show. We might chat next week on if we've got any racing issues we can have a chat about. And
no problem, because that'll be looking at January 1st at Ellerslie again.
Yep, it certainly will. And I have to say, you have a great Christmas. Got much planned for the Christmas break?
Pretty quiet.
That's okay. Well, have a good Christmas, and we'll catch you next week, and we'll chat. Looking forward to the New Year's Day races. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike Brown, former editor of the Friday Flash, a superb racing expert. And I hope everyone has written down some of the horses for some of the big races over the Christmas break. Next, I'm just going to play a bit more music. And next up, we have the old madness, the madman himself, Mr. Brendan McNeice. He's got a lot to get off his chest coming towards Christmas. So we'll just get a bit of music on.
Dame, 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 dame todo tu candor. Que me arrulles en tus brazos, olvide mi corazón. Quiero, creo, pienso y siento que así vuelvo a renacer. Qué bonito, qué alegría ver que todo puede ser. Vivir, llorar, cantar, reír, soñar y tener mucha esperanza.
Si tú me das tu sonrisa, tu mirada, tu calor, mi alegría sería completa, necesito ese fulgor. Si tú me das tu sonrisa, tu mirada, tu calor, mi alegría sería completa, necesito ese fulgor. Vivir, llorar, cantar, reír, soñar y tener mucha esperanza. Quiero bailar, gozar, sentir, besar esta dicha que me embarga. Dame, 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 dame todo tu calor, que me arrullas en tus brazos, lo pide mi corazón. Quiero, creo, pienso y siento que así vuelvo a renacer. Qué bonito, qué alegría ver que todo puede ser. Vivir, llorar, cantar, reír, soñar y tener mucha esperanza. Quiero bailar, gozar, sentir, besar esta dicha que me embarga. Dame, 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 dame todo tu calor, que me arrulles en tus brazos, lo pide mi corazón. Dame, 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 dame todo tu calor, que me arrulles en tus brazos, lo pide mi corazón.
Well, that was a bit of a Spanish music by Cantuta, and I know my next guest, he was doing a bit of boogie to this. Please welcome to the show the man himself, Brendan McNeice. Good afternoon to you, Mr. McNeice.
Good afternoon, and the compliments of the season, Eamon. I hope you're keeping well.
Oh, listen, mate, it is getting near that mad part of the year. I've done some Christmas shopping. I've just got to send some presents. Got to go down to the post shop and speak nicely to the people I know there to get something on an overnight carrier, which I should have done a week or two ago, but hey, that's life for you. But what this premiership, mate, tell you what, I say give it to the Scousers. I reckon they're going to win it.
Look, you've read my mind. Look, Christmas football tradition, and you know it well, Eamon, is the team that leads at Christmas is always very hard to peg back. But in this weirdest of seasons, Liverpool have made a double statement, and they've gone to the top of the table with a 7-0 thrashing of Crystal Palace, and they've opened up a 4-point lead. So Liverpool now are in the absolute box seat, and Leicester into second place.
Yes.
Who's third,
Brendan? Who's third?
Who's third? Would you let me get to third?
Okay. Sorry, I'm just excited.
Will you look, because it's in chronological order, Eamon.
Okay.
So, but Leicester, sent Spurs down to fifth with a 2-0 away win. But Eamon, and you've just got the story, your much maligned mob, Manchester United, moving into third place, eh? With a game in hand, with a 6-2 demolition of Leeds in the Battle of the Roses, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer must be delighted. And we've given him a bit of stick. We've given him a bit of stick this year, and to be fair. But here's the thing. Is this recent form, is he close to finding his best 11? Or is it another fault done? And you as the Manchester United supporter, I'm going to allow you to answer that question.
I knew you'd do this to me. I'd say what he's got out there at the moment is his best 11. I think forget about Pogba. He's going to go. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be sold to Juventus in January. Get some other players. Get more attackers. Get more defenders. And yeah, maybe they could challenge Liverpool. I can't see it, Brendan, because I just think Liverpool are just that much better than anyone else, and that also includes the noisy neighbours, Manchester City.
Yeah, oh, you know, you're absolutely right. And the United have really got to get started. If they want to be serious contenders, they've really got to start winning the big games. And, like, you know, there's no better opportunity now. They're away to Leicester. Away to Leicester next week at the King Power. So that's going to be a big game. And, you know, it's really a must-win for United if they're really going to throw down any sort of a challenge. Because you never know what happens, you know. You never know what happens, and especially this weird season. Anybody, you know, it's harder to pick than a broken nose.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, but getting back to Manchester United, they have to win because, quite frankly, even if Leicester wins or if it's a draw, there's going to be nobody who I don't think will be able to chase. If Manchester United win, they may have a chance of chasing Liverpool down. I can't see any of the others doing it.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. That's an absolute fair point. But it's just that sort of really, really weird season. And imagine if you're an Arsenal fan at the minute. You know, very, very worrying. Yeah, well,
My brother in Thailand is, and he hasn't replied to any of my messages. But
he's probably in the wrong street in Phan Phat Road there or whatever it is.
No. He works over there, and I've been over there myself. It's actually a great place. One day, once we get a bit of flying involved and been overseas travel, I might take you over there. You'd actually enjoy the some of the bars. We have a drink in my old mate Philip Party Bar in Nakula and Pattaya. You know, you'll have a lot of fun. This is a good crack over there. Anyway,
absolutely, and you've definitely got more chance of scoring than Arsenal, who've only scored 3 times since October, and they've got the worst record in the Premiership, and now they're just hovering above the relegation zone. Only, you know, and you know, only a few short months ago, you and I, Eamon, were talking about the team that had lifted the FA Cup at Wembley, and then they went on to win the Charity Shield. We were all thinking that they could be a contender this year, and now look at them. And if they're not really careful, they're going to get dragged into a relegation battle. Yeah. And in this sort of a weird season, it's the last thing you want, because it's like quicksand. Once you get into that relegation zone, it's very, very difficult to get out, because every game becomes a 6-pointer.
Yeah, well, the big thing is that they've got one of the richest owners, and they've got one of the richest people in the world that owns them. They just look like Aubameyang wasn't playing. You know, that's a big loss. But, you know, you hear the players saying, we're supporting. As soon as you hear the players saying, oh, we're right behind the manager, you know for a fact that, no, they're not. But who do you replace them with? There's nobody decent to replace them with, and you know, who replaces Arteta? It's just too. It's a hard one to pick.
Yeah, well, there would be Pochettino's on the rock and roll at the minute, so there's an opportunity there, I suppose. But look, you know, it's just that. As you say, it's a crazy season. Meanwhile, up in Scotland, things are not any less crazy. very, very mixed week for Glasgow's big boys, with Rangers crashing out of the Scottish League Cup to very lowly St Mirren. And, you know, this reignited the old tag that Rangers have choked more times than the Boston Strangler. You know, they haven't won a title of any description for 11 years, and this is a golden opportunity, and they lose to St Mirren. And they also Rangers also struggled, but they did win in the end against Motherwell. But meanwhile, on the other side of town, Celtic have won the quadruple treble with winning the Scottish FA Cup this morning in a penalty shootout with Hearts. And this was a delayed Scottish Cup final, you know, with COVID and all the rest of it. You would think us Celtic fans now would be absolutely cracking the champagne and putting on the rebel songs and, you know, just getting all leery. No, quite the opposite, even. Celtic were poor yet again, especially at the back, letting another two-goal lead disappear. And then we're really struggling against a second-tier team. You know, the Hearts are in the Championship in Scotland. So you know, the pressure's still very much on Neil Lennon. The big game now in Scotland, obviously, 3rd of January, Celtic Rangers, which will, you know, if Celtic have to win, otherwise the title race is over to Rangers. So looking forward to that. But, you know, like you would think after winning the quadruple treble, which is all 12 domestic titles in the last 4 years, the Celtic fans would be happy, but they're less than excited.
Well, yeah, well, I suppose winning a penalty shootout against Hearts, who they should be beaten any day of the week, is a real... it's really not that good. But just one thing, Brendan, did you watch TVNZ's coverage of the America's Cup?
Oh, look! I'm just about to do a Mark Watson.
I'm heading that way too. Go, just go.
Right, mate. Mark Watson was on your show, but he's a great listener because he actually tells it like it is, and he was saying it like it is about your Bernadine Oliver Kirby's and all the rest of them being sycophantic cheerleaders for the New Zealand All Blacks on the Sky TV rugby coverage. But how can a nation like New Zealand, who punches above its weight in just about every sport in the world, you know, and we are a proud sporting nation, how are we so terrible, absolutely terrible at sports broadcasting? Like, the TV America's Cup, honestly, is nauseating, vomit-inducing, cringy crap. Absolutely. It is just absolutely awful. I've got the ability to watch Sky UK television, so which I switched over to Sky UK, and the difference of day and night on the coverage, it was absolutely professional. But you know, like, and then look, they put the tin lid on it. Like, it's all of this. Like, they had Peter Lester dressed up like Borat in these really sort of too short shorts. it's just awful.
Brendan, maybe it's me getting older. Maybe they can, you know, the people that watch America's Cup around our age, in their 30s, a lot of people under 20 might watch it. But are they trying to attract a younger crowd? Well, they're not going to get it. Let's stick to the racing. Like, if I can get a guy like Rod Davis on, who I had on to start the show, he hasn't even been approached by TVNZ. What about Sir Russell Coutts? We all know why Sir Russell Coutts, they won't have him on, because A, he'll probably crap all over the sailing, and he'll probably give his honest opinion. And plus, somebody in Team New Zealand probably doesn't want them there. Look at the money they have spent, and is this the best you've got? If somebody from overseas was watching this, I would feel, as a New Zealander, absolutely embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
I'm going to speak to Mr. Summerfield about this, and you've now got me wound up, and I was looking forward to Christmas. ruined Christmas.
But the blondie girl, Tony, whatever her name is, she forgot the name of the... There's only four boats in it.
Yeah,
there's only four boats in the race, in the regatta, and she forgets the name of the American team. You know what I mean? And then they cross. They try to do these sickly little politically correct colour pieces with white bait fritters and all this sort of stuff. And I'm just thinking, be like the rest of the world. Because I watched a football game the other day. Ireland was playing the Euro Championships, and the standard of the presentation was just so much better. Yeah. We weren't biased and snarky towards the other team. We were gracious towards the other team. The commentators were the likes of Johnny Giles and real absolute legend. Yeah. And they just did it with grace and dignity, and none of this absolute putrid sort of attempt at humour, which, you know, the first rule of comedy is you have to be funny.
Well, I'll tell you something. I could actually think that we could get our mate Mr. Summerfield to present it, but we could get Sir Rod Davis, maybe Sir Russell Coutts on there. But, you know, we could get Mr. Watson, give it his Alison, because he knows a lot. He knows. I tell you something.
Hamish McKay.
Yeah.
You know, people who are seasoned broadcasters, people who understand sport, people who've got sport running through their veins, not part time field DJs. You know what I mean? Like, with respect, you know, it's just absolutely putrid. And the thing is that they will actually go into the green room afterwards. They will crack open a tin of beer or maybe a bottle of champagne, and they will actually, because I've worked in the TV industry, they will think they're doing a good job.
And just one thing that made me laugh, and I like Stephen Donald, I think he's an absolute legend, but but I'm going to be straight to the point. 2011, if Dan Carter didn't get injured, would we have heard of Stephen Donald? No.
A chance.
Yeah, but great guy and a fantastic bloke. Met him personally, great guy. What the hell has he got to do with America's Cup? It'll be like, okay, I'll put it to you like this. It'll be like a BMX BMX biker giving their input into the Tour de France.
It's probably even worse than that. It'll probably be, you know, it'll be like trying to get a, you know, somebody who's doing water polo. I don't know. It's just, I'll need to get on to next year before I get wound up anymore.
Listen, we might as well. We'll have a chat here. We get wound up here. Oh, God.
We get wound up.
We're grumpy old men.
It's not good enough.
The grumpy old men.
It's not good enough. So anyway, 2021, we don't know what's going to be happening, but like, on the cards, it's supposed to be the Olympics in Tokyo.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
it's supposed to be the European Championships, Lions Tour to South Africa, the World Test Cricket Championship in June at Lourdes, yes. Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits, Wisconsin, you know, and then the boxing, Fury versus Joshua. Whew! There's a lot of sport. Let's just hope this COVID goes away, eh?
Well, let's hope it does. I'll tell you something. I want to see the Olympics. I don't care what anyone says. It's still the pinnacle of sports, Brendan.
Well, I would go for the football world and rugby world cups.
Yeah, that's fine. But to me, it's still, I personally find it the pinnacle of sports. I enjoy it when New Zealand wins a gold medal. You have that fantastic, feeling around the country. And it's like, I just enjoy it. It's just, it's something I'm willing to take a week off the second week of the Olympics. I'll take a week off work just to watch the highlights.
I really love the Olympics, and it's a fantastic, occasion every 4 years. But all of these sports, surely, you know, like people have said, they're rescheduled. But if the COVID doesn't go away, you know, are we gonna have any Olympics? Are we gonna have the Euro Championships? You know, are they gonna play the Euro Championships behind closed doors? Because these games are turgid to watch without a crowd.
Oh, there's no atmosphere, and you go to these events for one thing, Brendan, and as you and I both know, you go there for the atmosphere. Like,
of course you do.
I tell you something, 2016, I went over to Chicago to watch the All Blacks versus Ireland. Now, I was shouting for the All Blacks, but I had to say, you know, I was part of Irish rugby history because I was there. So, but I have to say, it was just the atmosphere that day. You can never take that away. 2009, Wellington, All Whites versus Bahrain. Fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah. I once seen Liverpool back in the '80s. Liverpool and Manchester United playing at Old Trafford.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was in the days of standing, and it was absolutely unbelievable. But it was just even the walk to the game, walking down the Warwick Road down there, and the Sir Matt Busby Way, and you hear the chanting, and you can actually hear the noise inside the stadium when you're outside the stadium, you know, just queuing up, and I've actually got a shiver down my spine now just thinking about it again. You know, this is what makes sport what it is. It's people, and as Jack Stein once said, football is nothing without fans, and I would go as far to say sport's nothing without fans.
Have to agree with you there, Brendan. First, Brendan, I just want to thank you for your input to the show. You've provided, you know how I got hold of you was our old friend Mr. Summerfield said, see if you can, he said, try and get a number for McNeese. He'd be a good guy to have on your show. We finally got hold of each other. Now, we've known each other a long time, and it was good reconnecting. And I have to say, mate, you've added a lot of I wouldn't say polished, but an entertainment and good knowledge on football, and we've had a lot of fun together doing this show.
Oh, absolutely, but I have to rush on because I've got an interview at TVNZ for the yachting position.
They'll have subtitles for that.
You have a wonderful Christmas.
And you have a wonderful Christmas, you and your family. We'll have a chat on next Monday.
And, absolutely, we will.
Thank you so much, Brendan. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed your input.
I love having the yarn here on a Monday and putting the words to rights and, you know, being a couple of grumpy old men.
Oh, that's what we are, but damn proud of it too. Have a great Christmas, Brendan.
Well, you're a gentleman. Talk later.
Chat you later. Well, Brendan McNeice, he's had a lot of fun this year and a lot of honesty, but he's a great bloke. And, of course, next up we have another fantastic bloke and Mr. Sean Summerfield. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM, or if you listen on planetaudio.org.nz. And this is the part of the show where it's our final part of the show, and on the show is my good friend of over 30 years. He is the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox himself, motorsport expert, general good bugger, Mr. Sean Summerfield. Good afternoon, Sean. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. The sad thing is it's almost 40 years, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, we are both getting old, and of course I've had my, I've just been speaking with our good friend Mr. McNeice, and I had my Watson type rant about the TVNZ coverage of the America's Cup, which I've tried to hold back, but it has turned me into a real grumpy old man.
What don't you like about it?
Oh, okay, for a middle-aged man like myself, and I finally admit it, I didn't find it entertaining at all. I found the commentary good. I found Jan Shearer was excellent. But I just didn't find it, you know, it didn't attract me. It looked a bit, how would you put the cliche, bubblegum?
Yeah, and I haven't been able to sit down, mate, because I've had a lot of, it's a busy time of the year, and I really wanted to sit down and take in a race. And I'm fascinated by the technology and the fact that these yachts are travelling twice as fast as the wind. And I think we've talked before about this. The fact is, if they could be that efficient with our energy generation, we'd be set. But anyway, they don't capture the speed. And that's always been a thing with motorsport, to actually capture how fast these things are going and what the reaction times are and what's at stake. And look, you know, as a person of a certain age, for me, the voice of yachting is still PJ Montgomery, and he was able to make those old 12-metre boats, which were not far past being as exciting as a cork bobbing in the water compared to today's boats, But he made it sound exciting. He made us all into yachting experts because we knew he knew. He was excited when he had to be, and I really miss that voice. And I've heard him do some radio. He's still up with it. I think he can still run rings about anyone else, and he can make average coverage look better because of the stories he tells. And that's sort of what we're missing. And no criticism of anyone that's doing it now. It's a heck of a job. You know, it's the only time yachting's really on TV in New Zealand, and suddenly it's got to be covered to this international standard. I don't think they're capturing the speed, Eamon. I don't think they're, from what I've seen, telling the story in a way that highlights how clever the coverage is, because I think there's a lot of stuff going on there that we maybe don't appreciate. It's still early days, though.
It is early days.
This is only the curtain raiser.
Yeah, I have to say, but it's just like, I think Sumo Stevenson's doing a good enough job there. I like Peter Lester for Wurrumba, and now Jan Shearer, but just some of it just seems like going to somebody. Oh, we're out there with so-and-so, we're out there with so-and-so. It's like, just get on with the damn
racing.
It's lazy.
There's enough going on the water to do that. And what happens in that situation is you develop crutches and things that you go to, and the trick is to be able to do the same thing 20 times and not make it sound like the same thing. And you've highlighted it by saying we're going to, or you know, whatever. And they're just little things that hopefully they've got people critiquing and ironing out. I think the technology will improve, but I just want them to show the speed, because the truth is 90% of speedboats can't go as fast as these yachts.
No, they can't. Just 2020, it's been a hell of a year, Sean, and of course, what's been, you know, I've looked over it, it's been a stop-start year, but what's been some of your sporting highlights of 2020?
Look, you know what, there was a moment when we came out of lockdown finally and Eden Park was packed for the Blues and Hurricanes, and that to me was sports at its best. Not anything to do with the game, it was an exciting game.
Yeah.
But sport is a community thing, and maybe the bosses and the people that count the beans at rugby maybe didn't appreciate that, you know, it only succeeds because of people caring about it. Sport doesn't change our life. It just makes us feel a certain way. It isn't watching sport, not playing it. And we saw then the power of sport, how hungry people would be together. And to be at Eden Park that day was awesome. And I didn't think I'd ever go to a game that the Crusaders or All Blacks weren't playing. But it was worth every cent to take the family and be part of it and feel this outpouring of joy at being together, and also, you know, watching, you know, excellent sport. And that was a highlight for me. You know, these teams that had to go to Australia, the Warriors, Phoenix, and that, I struggled a bit with that. I mean, good on them for doing it. What muddied it for me was when we heard the All Blacks complaining about not making it back in time for Christmas. And I'm just thinking, this, and we've talked about this, but guys, you're paid incredibly well because you can run, kick, and catch better than most people. In the end, aside from genetics, that no thing you've really done. And, you know, to me that just soured the whole thing a bit. And the fact is, on Monday, no one in my office was talking about the rugby, win or lose. And that sounds alarm bells to me, who, you know, grew up dreaming of, you know, you get to 21 and realise you're never going to be an All Black and you have to find a different thing to dream about every night.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of a sad one for me. I think, you know, netball, they pushed along and did pretty damn well to keep going. Obviously, Formula One did the same. They salvaged an okay season, albeit predictable, but we still had plenty of little bits of drama like we are seeing in the America's Cup now. But as for Kiwis, and you know I love my motorsport, you know, Shane Van Gisbergen winning Bathurst, Scott McLaughlin just being absolutely absolutely devastating the form, leading again in supercars, then heading away, and he's looking like forging a great career in IndyCar, and then of course Scott Dixon, the class of IndyCar this year, and yeah, he is one of the greatest drivers in the world right now, and you know you'll see him a lot more on all time lists now of all drivers around the world. He is something incredibly special, and we need to be aware of that.
I have to say that was well said, Sean. I know, you know, my sporting highlights, Eden Lizards winning the New Zealand under.
Oh, look, I forgot that. That was incredible, you know. Yeah. Here's a team of underweight, underdone athletes, and you know, to achieve what they have and, you know, bring smiles to probably four or five people. No. I work with people that flat with some of the Lizards, and I know what it means. I work with another former Lizard, and I know...
Smile, mate, Craig, yeah.
Yeah, how many people this underweight rugby, and I know Eamon's talked it about a fair bit. If you're wondering what's going on, these are the under 85 kilo players. You know,
with
you
overweight supporters, like me.
Look, the fact is, mate, you know, for the average punter now, you know, Premier Rugby players, you know, can be 130, 140 kilos. And, you know, it's actually not safe. It's a different kind of game. So I think it's awesome this competition exists. And, great achievement. And I know I've given you a hard time for it, but it's bloody awesome.
Thank you very much. And I just want to say something, Sean. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I remember you said I'll give you 4 weeks, and you've just been here ever since. You and Mark
Watson. Did I lose count?
Yeah, you did, and I forgot to remind you, but you and Mark Watson have worked well as a trio. You've kept me under control. You've kept Mr. Watson under control. You've been the voice of reason. You've given me such great advice. And, Sean, as mate to mate, thank you so much, and I want to wish you and your family, you, Caroline and the girls, a fantastic Christmas and a happy new year, and we can chat in the new year.
Sounds good, mate. And for the record, you never came through with the Guinness, but that's okay.
Don't worry. Next year, we've got a big sponsors party. I'll let you know about that.
Hey, but the pleasure's all mine, and good on you for doing this, mate.
Thank you very much, Sean. I have to say that I'm just going to sign off and do a few thank yous to people here at the station. But, Sean, you've been brilliant, mate. Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Mate.
Well, that was Sean Summerfield, and really, he's been fantastic. Just want to end the show with a few thank yous. I want to thank the ladies in the office, Christine and Joe, who interviewed me when a rather self-opinionated middle-aged man walked in there and said that he wanted to start an alley sports station. They listened. They probably thought, well, should we go live or should we not? But they backed me all the way, and they have been fantastic. The man who's usually behind the glass behind me in the studio, Paul Hannon, he has been fantastic. He's given me a lot of encouragement, and he's really, you know, he submitted, this was his comment: if I didn't think you were good enough, I'd actually tell you. And anyone who's met Paul, he's a straight shooter, but a bloody brilliant guy. I want to give a special thanks out to my family and friends, people that have supported me during this opportunity. Now, a lot of people would say, why did he do it? Well, when sports radio went down, there wasn't a format. I felt that we could put a format out there. And I know that, you know, I'm not the best of hosts. I'm not the worst of hosts, but I'm giving it a crack. And it's all, and of the support of friends, families and listeners, it's really meant a lot to me. And that's what... That's what makes me come to the office every day with a big smile. And, you know, I've had my critics, but the biggest critic is me, myself. I know when I've done a good show, and I know when I've done a bad show. But the feeling of it walking out when you've done a good show is something that I can't explain. I'll also want to thank the listeners that have had to put up with the word absolutely outstanding, and a one that became more common. Well, sorry, people were having technical issues. And, you know, I know that I've got a bit of a hard time over this, but, you know, I've really thank everyone. And next year, we're going to have a good year. We've got a sponsor on board. We've got some new things coming up on the show in 2021. And I'm just going to sign off. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a great one. And that's me. Thank you very much.